And as we prepare now to hear God's word from the Gospel of Matthew, let's pray together our prayer for illumination. Lord God, we wish to see Jesus. By your Spirit's power, give us eyes to see his glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. We're going to read chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. And as we read together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your circumstances today, whatever they may be. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run around after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So over the next 4 weeks, we are going to be addressing something that Jesus talks a lot about, but that we're told from young children not to talk about in polite company. There are some boundaries that you just don't cross when you're talking to another person. There are several of those things, right? Religion is one of them, which I transgress just about every week. Politics is another, which, well, considering what's going to be happening on Tuesday, is a shaky ground to talk about at best, because depending on what you say, you could alienate either half of the people or all of the people, depending on if you're an equal opportunity offender, like Jesus happened to be so often. But the topic that we are going to talk about over the next 4 weeks together is how religion interplays with money. That's right, money. Now, it always feels a little bit strange as a pastor to talk to a congregation about money. And I just want to put that out there because, at least in the church that I grew up in and one of the churches that I served, November was always kind of the time that you would hear the stewardship sermon rolled out. You know, you could always tell, like, oh, right around Thanksgiving Day, oh, here we go. The pastor's going to talk about money, and he's going to tell us about how we're supposed to give more and all these kinds of things. And, you know, he only wants us to give more because he wants a raise. You know, so it's one of those kind of odd things, and I'll just throw that out there right away. You know, there was one year that I actually got out of the stewardship sermon, but it took my kids being born like 3.5 months early in order for me to get out of it, and the poor pastor 6 miles down the road, I got him to come and preach my stewardship sermon instead. I know, the lengths that some people will go to avoid talking about money from the pulpit. But it's actually a topic that Jesus talks about quite a bit. And why is that? Because money is one of those things that has a way of dominating our lives. I want you to imagine that you are a regular person, like you are. And I want you to think about what your day is going to be like today, even if you stay home. Think about it. Well, if you are listening to this right now from home, it means that your computer is on. And that computer is drawing electricity. And the electric company is charging you money to watch today's service. Maybe after the service, you're going to go out and buy bagels. Or you're going to go, you know, pick up lunch. Or you're going to make a telephone call, or you're going to get in the car and drive. And all of these things have economic implications to them. You can go through days without thinking about God, and there are plenty of people who do. But there are not too many people who go throughout a day without thinking about money in some way. Mammon, that's right, Bob. That's all right. That's all right. We'll give you a microphone so you can talk into it next time. Jesus knows that his disciples, the other people that he is preaching to, the people he's healing, everyone has money on the mind. And this was 2,000 years ago. I don't know, is the Roman Empire a capitalist society? I'm not actually really 100% sure about the economic structures of Rome. But in a capitalist society like the one we live in here in America, money is one of those things that we talk a lot about because in order for our economy to grow, like it did apparently at 33% this last quarter, people have to buy and spend. They have to go into debt. The economy actually shrinks if we save our money. If we use it responsibly, things are actually worse. But if we spend with reckless abandon, at least in the short term, things get better. Except for ourselves. Money is one of those inescapable topics for us as Americans. And as Christians, it's really important for us to think about the relationship that we have with money. So over the next few weeks, that's what we're going to talk about. Today, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins by saying, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And then he goes on to say, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, the first time I read this, I actually thought that Jesus had it backwards. I said, oh, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will go. And that's what we hope for in the church. We hope that treasure follows heart. We hope that we can make you a great pitch and say, oh, think about the relationship with Jesus and think about all the wonderful things that God has done for you, and your heart belongs to God, and so therefore, you know, you will give more to God. There will be more generosity. But the truth is, Jesus understands the hold that money has on us. And the truth of the matter is that where our treasure is, that's where our heart is also. It's where our interest is also. I want you to think about the last time you were really generous to someone or some cause. I want you to go even further. Imagine that someone gave you like $1 million and said, with this $1 million, you can do anything with it except spend it on yourself. You have to give it away. It's not yours. It's mine. I'm giving it to you. And you can give it away to anyone. Well, you would get pretty up to date, I think, on the different charitable organizations that are out there, what they do. And you might think to yourself, wow, if I give money to, let's say, you know, the ASPCA, Humane Society, that kind of thing, I am going to get really, really familiar with dogs and cats and other animals that people, you know, have rescued. I guess maybe alligators and snakes and those kinds of things too. I don't know, who was it that's saying I don't like spiders and snakes? I don't know, some guy that has had a show in Branson, Missouri for 100 years now, I think. I don't know, I saw him in high school, I guess, probably still alive. Anyway, that's a digression. It's kind of easy to get sidetracked. So anyway, as you give money to different places, as you're generous to different places, your heart will go towards those causes. Now, it's a nice imaginary thing to do, but the truth is, in our daily lives, the places where our money, where our treasure is, that's what we care about the most. So I want you to think for a second about, where does your money go? What are you spending on? What are you saving toward? Where are you donating? Where are you giving your money away? And perhaps, if you're not giving as much away as you would like to, the question becomes, why not? And that's actually where these next 3 weeks are going, is talking about the obstacles to greater generosity. What is it that stands in the way of our hearts following our treasures? Today, we're going to talk about worry. Because Jesus spends a great deal of time here talking about worry in chapter 6 of his Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Seems obvious. And yet for a lot of people, they are worried. They're worried about where their next meal is going to come from. They're worried about how they're going to afford clothes. But for some people, they have an abundance of food, an abundance of clothes, and their worry more revolves around, how am I going to get more? Or how am I going to keep up with the other people that have more than I do? I'm eating tuna fish, but I want to eat steak like my neighbors. I can smell it on the grill. I'm sharing this can with my cat, but I'd really like to be over there cutting into a nice juicy fillet. And boy, oh boy, look at the car that person is driving. Boy, I'm really worried about my beater, but how am I gonna, you know, how am I gonna lease a car that'll make me look like that person? And we worry about these things. And by worrying about those things, it's actually a barrier to generosity. I think the number one reason that people don't give as much as they would like to give is that they are worried that if they give so much away, they are going to miss out on something for themselves. There's a worry about scarcity, that it's not going to be enough. An exercise that I take people through in Financial Peace University when we teach that course is, as we're looking at the budget, we ask the question, if you were to give this much away, what in your life would have to change? Now, for many people, the answer to that question is, wow, like, that would mean that I would have to give up, like, my daily Starbucks run, or I might not be, you know, I might have to, you know, go to, you know, Wendy's instead of Bobby's Burger Palace, or I don't know, make up your own situations and scenarios. For some people, it would mean, wow, we would have to move into a smaller house, or we would have to sell the vehicle we have and get something less expensive. And boy, that would really worry us. We'd be worried that it wouldn't be enough. We're a worrying people. What are we so worried about? Are there things to be worried about in our world today? I don't know. Is the thing that keeps us from worshiping together the way we want to something for us to worry about? That's a good question. A lot of people are worried. And being so close to the election, there are candidates all over the place that are stoking the fires of that worry, saying, you really need to be worried about this, because if you vote for the wrong person, your life is going to end. It's going to be terrible. The truth is, it might be. It might not be great. But what can you do about it? What can you do about it? Is worrying adding anything to your life? If anything, right, stress, it is. If anything, worrying actually takes away from your life. And that's really what I think Jesus is getting at here by mentioning the birds of the air in a positive light. I mean, so it's a bit of a stretch for me too, I know. But he actually uses the birds as a positive example, saying they build their nests, they fly around, they sing, they're happy. Are they worried about anything? No. How about the flowers? How about the flowers of the field? Do they work hard for what they have? Well, they don't seem to. They just kind of sprout up. Right? And they grow. They get what they need from the sun and the rain. But if it doesn't rain or the sun doesn't come out, do they get worried? Well, they don't seem to. And yet, God cares for them. And if God cares for the birds of the air and the lilies in the field, don't you think God cares about you too? So what are you worried about? Are you worried that God isn't going to take care of you? Are you worried that God isn't going to give you enough? Is that what you're worried about? Because if it is, if that's what you're worried about, then Jesus has a remedy for us. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It turns out that a barrier to generosity is worry, but the antidote to worry is generosity, is faith. If there's something that you are worried about, then the answer is not to double down on your worry and hoard things together, but instead it's to be generous, to be in community. Right? Don't be one of those who's selling toilet paper on the black market when the supermarket sells out. Put up a post on Facebook and say, hey, free to anyone who wants to come and take it. Right? Hey, you might run out, but, well, trees are dropping their leaves right now. Will God not provide for you? It turns out that when our move, when we feel like hoarding because things are scarce, the way to live into our faith is to be generous. Instead, to practice generosity, to fake it till we make it. The idea is that even if we don't feel generous, if we practice generosity, the feeling follows. What is it that Jesus said? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be as well. Having a stingy mindset only reflects that stinginess back onto yourself. It's like a greenhouse. It can't escape. But generosity works the same way. And that's what I counsel people in our Financial Peace University class, is that the antidote to worrying about scarcity is to give more away and rely more on God. To believe that what is left over will be enough. And it might mean some changes to your lifestyle. But then, how are you living today? How are you feeling about your life? How much are you worrying today? Worried about your retirement? Worried about, I don't know, name it. It's a question that each one of us in our individual lives, in our families, in our communities needs to have an honest conversation about. What are the things that I'm worried about today? And how can I move toward generosity, not just to the church, not just to charitable organizations, but even to other people? How might that generosity transform my life? In just a few minutes, we are going to share together in a litany of remembrance all of the saints that have gone on to be with the Lord over the last year. And as we read those names, at least for me, and I'm sure for you as well, will bring to mind the generous spirits that these folks were. The ways that they gave of themselves in so many ways. They gave of their love, gave of their knowledge, their wisdom, investing into our lives in such a way that we miss them. There are some names on the list that I don't know them personally. There are more than a few from our own church family who have passed away over the last year. who we deeply miss because of who they were, because of the faith that they showed, the generosity of spirit. Their hearts were in the right place because they found their treasures in Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, let's not worry about tomorrow or about Tuesday or about the outcome that might take a few weeks to find out. But let's put our faith and our trust in God, practicing generosity as the antidote to worry in our lives, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will fall into place. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most merciful God, we thank you for your generosity to us. For the generosity of Jesus Christ, walking with people, teaching them, giving them insight into your heart, the love that you have for us as your people. And we pray, Lord, for a generous spirit to live out our lives in love and generosity to others, those who are in need, those that we are close to, those in whom we can invest our time and energy and love to help one another grow, to live out our lives in faith. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning comes to us from the Heidelberg Catechism. Question and answer. That's not the right thing. There we go. It's question and answer number 54 and 55. I invite you to stand wherever you are as we profess our faith together. I believe that the Son of God, through his Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community I am and always will be a living member. The communion of saints, believers one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts. Each member should consider it a duty to use these gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members.